And I just want you to understand, again, I'll be saying this to you every week because it just blows me away. The more I study the Word of God, the more I begin to rest on things, the bigger and better it becomes. Hope you love the Word of God. Hope the Bible is more than just something sitting by your bed or sitting in your closet somewhere. I hope it's an everyday encounter with you. Turn with me to Matthew 6 today. We've been talking about the Lord's Prayer lived out. And this is why I want you to understand that it's a radical prayer when you look at it piece by piece. We've already talked about the PPP, the person, the position, and the praise of God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The PPP. And then we talked about the first great petition of the prayer, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done is the number two last week. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just think about this, friends. Think about this. If we were truly to pray that prayer several times a day, let your will be done, not mine. Let your kingdom come, not my interest, not what I need. But Lord, use me to change the world. What a difference we could make. How radical this is in our whole view of life is to realize that he's called us to change the world. His kingdom is coming not just here in Millbrook, not just here in Alabama, not just here in America, but into the whole world. He wants to use us to change the world for him. Today, the prayer makes a small turn because these next few petitions are more about what we need from him, what we need for our help today. And yet, this one today is another radical prayer. Radical provision when he says, give us today what? Our daily bread. Sounds so simple, but there's a radical root to it. If you would, turn into your bulletin, to the back of your bulletin, and let's pray this prayer together as we've been doing every Sunday, and I'm asking you to do it every day with me for the next 40 days. So we're about halfway through our 40 days. I hope you're trying this. If you're not, start today. I've asked you not to pray it through quickly. I've asked you to pray it through in pieces so you can contemplate and do what the prayer tells you to do. Father, we pray now the prayer that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So the barnyard was in a stir. You see, the hog and the hen heard about the program by the local church to feed the community. And everybody wanted to be a part somehow. How can we help feed the community? Well, finally, the hen had a great idea, talking to the hog. Hey, let's provide them with some scrambled eggs and some bacon. And the hog said, well, that's a great, wait a minute. That's a great plan for you because you just contribute. But this is a major commitment for me to help out. You know, I realized even as I contemplated this message as the Spirit was working on my life, this can either be a contribution to your life or you can make a major commitment to this prayer. It can just be another religious activity you do in your life, praying the Lord's Prayer. Or you can make a commitment to it. Saying, what does it mean if I really walk out this prayer? Even today, when we come to this phrase, the third petition on our list, If you're with me in Matthew, let's just look at Matthew verse chapter 6, verse 11, just this one verse. Give us today our daily bread. Seems pretty obvious, and there is a lot of very simple understanding of that, but there's also a great deal of other things that are caught into this. In fact, before we can really delve into that one verse, I want you to join me just for a minute and let me overview the rest of chapter 6 of Matthew, because you have to understand the context in order to understand this verse. And so today's a good day. So in your outline, I want to talk about pagan prayers versus disciples' prayer. Pagan prayers versus disciples' prayers. You see, Jesus used two words here in the chapter 6 of Matthew. Two words that you and I do not want to be called, all right? These two words were a hypocrite and a pagan. He used these two words over and over again in this passage, a hypocrite and a pagan. And he said, do not be like the hypocrites. Do not be like the pagans. Now, what is a hypocrite? What is a hypocrite? Pretender. What else? Say one thing, do something different. The actual Greek word actually means a play actor, someone who is acting. In other words, when you're pretending, good word, you're pretending to believe something, but your life doesn't match it, then you're a hypocrite. And it really means nothing, does it? Your words, what you're acting like, people will eventually see your life and realize, well, that's not really. He or she are not living out the Christian life. And Jesus is talking about a lot of these Jewish leaders that he is speaking to. A lot of the Jewish people he is talking about here are hypocrites. They say one thing, but their heart is not in it. But then what's a pagan? What's a pagan? Right, believer in something other God, right? Or not believing in God. Really, the two things that a pagan is one who believes in another God or believes in no God. And believe me, the world we live in today, we're going back to this a lot today. You realize the latest survey came out talking about what they call the nones. You realize in the surveys they ask, what do you believe in? What denomination, what religion, what faith? And then there's a category at the bottom that says none. For years, that number has been around 16%. 16% of the American population for many years said none. Until this last 10-year survey came out. The last 10 years, that number has gone up to 32% of people, even in our country, a Christian nation, who call themselves none. Not affiliated. No religion. No faith. No God. Friends, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be called a hypocrite or a pagan. But he says here, in this passage here in chapter 6, he makes a list, actually seven different things that he wants us to understand is different than being the hypocrite or a pagan. If you're going to pray, if you're going to pray this prayer, remember he says when he gets down to our part, he said, this is how you should pray. And our prayer should be different from the pagans and the hypocrites, shouldn't it? Should we actually believe in what we say? Should we walk out what we say? Do we have a God to believe in? Of course we do. If you're going to pray this prayer, you can't say our Father and then have no God. It is either your Father or He's not. So, get up on that. Number one, verse 1 through 4, he says, give to the needy to be seen of men versus a secret giving. Verse 1, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. These hypocrites, they love to look good in public. They love to practice and serve only for their own credit, not to glorify God, but to glorify themselves. Number two, they pray to be seen by men versus a private personal prayer. Verse 5 and 6, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Again, I want you to understand this context. We're going to be talking about your daily bread. But you have to see here that Christ does not appreciate those who hold themselves up or hypocrites who claim to be seen of men after all the stuff they have and all the religion that they have. Keep that in mind. Verse number 3. Many words and repetitions versus just a few words. few sincere words. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. It's not how many words. It's not the repetition of your words. You can't force God to hear you because you're yelling at him or because you're saying them over and over again. Even this Lord's Prayer sometimes to me is just babbling words. People can just run through it. For years I said that every single Sunday. For years I even led it from the pulpit. All right, let's pray together, Lord's Prayer. But now, as I've taken time to stop, I say, my goodness, what am I saying? What a radical prayer. Number 4, convincing God of their needs versus simple faith that God knows. He said, verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father already knows what you need before you ask it. I'm asking you today, can you believe that God will provide for your daily needs? Do you believe that he can do that? I'm telling you, this prayer here is calling you to a simple faith. God, you will provide what I need. These pagans, these hypocrites, they try to convince God by talking too much, by begging him for help. Number 5, what I call fasting face. Fasting face versus secret fasting. Verse 16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. When you're doing religious things, whether praying or fasting or giving or serving, if you're waving a flag the whole time and saying, look at me, you have earned your reward. Fasting is a wonderful thing, but you don't walk around saying, yeah, I'm fasting today. I'm so holy. I'm fasting today. Jesus said, wash your face. Wash your face. Have joy on your face. Because fasting is about a personal commitment between you and the Lord and communication. It's not about broadcasting your holiness to the world. Number 6, treasures on earth versus treasures in heaven. You know this, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Instead, store up your treasures in heaven. Now again, this is very relatable to what we're fixing to talk about just a minute here. Because how many of us are storing up treasures on earth in case? Come on. We have these ideas that we have to be concerned about tomorrow. What happens if tomorrow? And we're so concerned about this. And Jesus says right here, look, your concern needs not to be to take care of yourself, but to store up treasures that will glorify God while you're here and trust him for the details. It's a toughie. Number 7, worrying about life versus your heavenly Father knows what you need. Once again, same thing he said before, but verse 25 says, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But, verse 33, come on, you know this one. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be given unto you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So we come to back to this prayer. And this is what it says, part B in your outline. This then is how you should pray. You should pray as a disciple. You should pray as a son of God. You should pray as someone who is working for the kingdom of God above all things. You should pray as the one who is trusting in the will of God above all things. You should pray as the one who believes that God will provide for our every need. You are the one that should be praying that temptation cannot defeat us because God has given us the tools to defeat it. You should be the one praying that when Satan comes, you say, get out of my life. He has given me victory over the evil one. You see, this kind of prayer life is totally, radically different from the prayer life of the people who are hypocrites or pagans. And again, I say I don't want to be a hypocrite, but I am. I admit to you, all of us really are. We're all striving to be less of such. Because even as I pray this prayer, I have to look at myself and say, really? Are you really going to walk that road? I want to. I really do. Part C says, based on God's person, God's kingdom, and God's personal will, we will have to depend on Him for the next three petitions that we're going to talk about. Even though these petitions are, Lord, I need you to do this, we're really depending on Him to do it. I mean, He has to do all of this. It all starts with Him. It all comes from Him. So we're going to look at the next three petitions. And again, they turn a little bit more toward what we need or what we have concerns about here today. But I'm here to tell you, if you can't pray the first part of this prayer without trusting for the second part, or you're a hypocrite. Lord, help us not to be hypocrites, not to play act with you or play act with those around us, to act like we're so holy and yet worry about everything in our hearts all the time. Is that of God? Worrying, fretting, being afraid? No. So let's look at petition number three. Petition number three is just verse 11 of Matthew 6. And we're going to break it down into its two parts. We're going to talk about a little bit about what the implications of these two parts are. Part A, give us today. The first phrase in that is give us today. And the word give is didamai. And again, it's an aorist imperative active, meaning aorist imperative means do it now. And active means you must do it now. You must be actively involved. But again, give us. Is us singular or plural? Those of you English people. Plural. He didn't say give me today. What did he say? Give us today. Keep that in mind. Listen, you know what this says? Number one, we admit our dependence upon God for all of our needs. Now look, here's the challenge we have, especially in this country. Now I wish you could go with me to Kenya. These people rise early in the morning and they work their tails off for one day's food. At the end of that day, they go to sleep. They wake up the next day. You see them on the side of the road before the sun comes up. They're headed to do whatever their job was. The little guy that always impressed me the most is the little guy sitting on the side of the road with a big mallet, and he's cracking big rocks into small pieces of gravel. This is how they do their roads over there. They do not have big trucks bringing in gravel. They have big stones like this big, sometimes this big, and one or maybe a dozen guys with big sledgehammers banging that big stone into small pieces, and then they sell the gravel. And that's their daily wage. Can you imagine sitting under the Kenyan heat, striking a mallet every day to make a living? And yet these people, this is one of the most honorable jobs in the entire area. People really appreciate gravel when you have dirt roads everywhere. All things come from God, and we admit our total dependence upon God. When we pray this prayer, we're saying, Lord, you have to do this. And here's the problem I have and you have, that sometimes we can provide for ourselves pretty well, can't we? Especially in this country. We think, I don't really need God today. I got plenty of money in the bank. I got a good job. I got plenty of food in the fridge. I'm good. Well, you've forgotten. God doesn't just provide your things. He provides your ability, your capability, the gifts that you have, the ability you have to work, the health that you enjoy, the mind that you have, the gifts that He's given you to do the job that you have. You and I must realize that all that we have and all that we do is dependent on Him. So we come into this humble place when we pray this prayer. Lord, you have provided everything. And without you, I don't have anything. Number two, we also pray this prayer assuming or believing that God knows our needs and will provide for them. God knows our needs and will provide. One of our favorite names around here is Jehovah Jireh. What does that mean? Lord provides. Jehovah Jireh. Sometimes when you're in that tight space and you don't know where the finances or where your life's going to go or how you're going to make it, you need to pray that name in the name of Jesus. You pray it. Jehovah Jireh, I need you. You have to know my needs. You have to provide for my needs. I have no hope. And here's the good news today, friends. I do believe he knows your needs. I do believe he understands your struggles. One of the great things that happened is that Jesus Christ came on this earth. What does that mean? That God came down to our level. He walked among us on our level. He knows what it feels like to walk the dusty roads and be hungry and thirsty. He knows what it feels like to sweat. He knows what it feels like to be rebuked and hated by other people. He knows what it feels like to be loved by other people. He knows the good and the bad of this world because he was here. So when we come to this, it's a great news because we're saying, Lord, you know what I need. You know me. You know my strengths. You know my weaknesses. Number three, though, and this is part of what many people want to ignore, but I want to throw it in there today. Prayer plus work. Prayer plus work. We have to actively pursue what is provided by God. Here's my point. Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, I know you know the story. Adam and Eve laid on a soft bed, and God came over to them, and he picked the fruit off the tree, and he came to them while they were laying flat on their back, and he fed them their food. Is that the way it happens? Of course not. What did he do? He said, here is the garden. Here is your work. You have a job, you have a purpose, be about it. And when you go out in the garden and you harvest your plants and you harvest your fruit and you bring it back, you'll have food to eat. If you don't choose to do that, you won't. Even the manna, the Exodus 16, the whole picture of manna. You remember, he provided the manna every day, right? Did he provide it right in people's homes, right on their grill? Did he make the bread for them? No. He said, go out every day and gather what you need for today. You got to go get it, and then you bring it home, and then you got to mill it, and then you got to cook it, and then you get to eat it. Amen. You see, the whole idea of this that, oh, pray about it. Pray about it, and God will deliver it to us. It's not what this says. Because work is of value to God. God started in the beginning putting people to work. And then he said in the New Testament, a man doesn't eat, doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Because we need work. And I don't mean that we go and make our own living without acknowledging God. But what I'm saying to you is we pray, Lord, help me have my daily food and help me go get it. How can I be about your business? And then one of the hardest parts of this is it says, give us today. Number four, this little piece focuses us on today. And the word that comes to my mind over and over is the word content. Where does anxiety come from? What does fear come from? Where does pride come from? Where does jealousy come from? You know what those things all root in? Discontent with what you have and where you are. Wanting what someone else has. This prayer to me, when I say, give us today, I'm thinking, Lord, maybe I don't need as much as I think I do today. Maybe I just need the basics today. Maybe I just need to focus on today, working today, and then trust the rest to you. So he says, give us today, part A, and then part B, our daily bread. Our daily bread. So people have talked about this. There's a lot of wonderful stuff we could go into about why does he say today in the first part and then daily in the second part. kind of seems redundant there. And I don't have time to get off on it today, but I'd love for you to get off on it on your own time. But the word daily here, the word daily is a Greek word that is used only once in the entire Bible. And the best English translation really is daily, but there's much more to it. One of these days, I'd like to dig into it with you on a Bible study. Because it means more than that. It means the sustenance that the average person needs in a day. In other words, our daily bread, our sustenance that we might need in a day. And remember again, notice he says our here, not my. Again, he's plural. Give us an hour. See, the number one, the us and the our reminds us that God is concerned about the community of faith, not just us. And then that opens a whole nother Pandora's box for me, because I began to think about it, and we need to think about, what is this community he's talking about? Are you telling me there are other believers that don't have their daily food? In fact, the rest of the world is in this situation right this minute. Like I said, my Kenyan friends, many of them do have jobs, but the vast majority do not know where their daily bread is coming from. And these are Christians. These are not pagans. These are people that in the church, you know. And then I began to realize, you know, maybe God's will, personal will for me, and ultimate will, his kingdom will of this earth, is that everybody would have adequate bread to eat. And then you begin to ask your question, well, is there enough bread in the world to feed everybody? And the answer is absolutely. There's plenty of food in the world for everybody. So why isn't everyone fed? Governments. People get in the way. So suddenly you start to pray, Lord, I know my needs, but what about the other believers, even in Millbrook? You know, there are homeless people here too. When we go down, you notice our mission wall back here in the back, you know, we talk about so many of the mission projects that we support. So many of these are homeless ministries because we see people hungry right here in our town. Number two, today and daily reminds us that we're to look at the short term. Again, if you look back at the whole chapter 6, he just says, look, why are you worried about tomorrow? Why are you focusing on tomorrow? Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. You need to focus on today. If we will pray this prayer and live this life one day at a time and doing all that we can, because we can't change yesterday, can we? I wish I could go back and erase some of that, but I can't. I really can't do a whole lot about tomorrow. But what I can influence is today. And then number three, the bread. The word bread is considered a symbolic word representing that what you truly need to survive. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. Always, we are praying for a humble, surviving amount. So, this simple phrase, give us today our daily bread, really opens up a huge panorama of ideas. What is my real need? Is it food or is it spiritual today? Jesus said, I am the bread of life, remember? And I can guarantee you all of us have a spiritual need for more of him every single day. So it's not just about your physical belly. It's not just about our hunger. It's also about our spiritual. So I would encourage you to claim some promises, part C. I want you to claim some promises. These are just four of the ones. There's hundreds of them. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Come on. Can you claim that scripture?
Yes.
And my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Love that scripture. Powerful scripture. Matthew 7:11. How much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Talking about if you're a child of God and the Father gives good things to his children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good things if you ask him. 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. He's going to give it to us. And then Romans 8:32, you can just claim this verse. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely give us everything that we need? Listen, I believe this prayer tells us he hears you, he knows you, and he will provide. He is the Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. So practical applications just for a minute. You know, I've really been trying to practice this week myself, but giving thanks in advance for God's radical provisions. You know, instead of just always looking back, let's look forward in faith, you know. Lord, I know you're going to provide this. As I look at Wellspring here, as we look at this seed that we are here, I mean, we're just a small seed of what God wants to do through us. And I say, Lord, how are you going to do that? But I'm praising God in advance for what he's going to do, because I believe that he will provide as he has provided. We're here, 7.5 acres. We're here in this building, finally, 10 months of renovation and prayer and work. And he has provided every step. And now we need people. Now we need wisdom. Now we need energy to reach the world for Christ. And of course, the big battle, part B, is pray for contentment and compassion. One of the biggest challenges that I face and you face is just being content with what God has given us. You know, God knows what we need, even as Wellspring. You and I may have a vision of so much more, but God says, no, this is what you need. But now he wants us to go after it. He doesn't just give it to us. People don't just walk in the door. We got to go out. We got to go actively involved in inviting and bringing and taking the message out. And then lastly, our personal need should be more focused on God's will, on his kingdom and his glory. You notice that this one is after we have recognized who God is, after we've acknowledged that his kingdom is more important, after we've acknowledged that his will is more important than everything else. Suddenly, our daily bread becomes, okay, he's given me what I need to do his will. It's all about him. It's all for him. Come on up, Dana. One of my great heroes is a guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Have you ever heard of that fellow? He was a Christian in World War II during the time of Hitler, and strong church leader. And he stood up and told the church, he said, look, folks, we got to stand up. We can't just sit down and let Hitler and these people destroy everything. So somebody finally came to him and said, why are you still standing here? He said, do you realize if Jesus comes back tomorrow, that all of your work and all of your pain would be in vain? He'll calm down just a second. Just got to leave it there. Just let it rest. Calm down. Here's what he said. Bonhoeffer replied, if Jesus returns tomorrow, then tomorrow I will rest from my labor. But today, I have to work to do. I must continue the struggle until it's done. And the saddest thing, from an earthly sense, not from a heavenly sense, but the saddest thing, it was only about 3 days before the end of the war. Hitler was running away, fighting for his very life. But he told his people, there's one thing you got to do no matter what. That Bonhoeffer fella has got to die. 3 days before the end of the war, he went on to be with the Lord. He understood that this Christian life is a daily battle. It's a daily fight. And we pray, Lord, we need your resources today. Just to keep on keeping on today. Give us, Lord. We We know it comes from you. We know we depend on you. And Lord, you know our needs and you know we need your help, but you have to do it. Because we're standing in today in a world where the world will turn against us and even try to take our life, I believe, before it's too long. But like Bonhoeffer, we realize we've got to work today. While we're here, while we're still going, we've got to give it the best we have. Our time will come to rest in the future. We're going to rest in the heavenly home like Don. While we're here today. While we're here today, Lord, give us daily bread that we need today. Lord God, I pray this morning for every person in the hearing of my voice that, Lord, that you would remind us and reassure us that we can trust you for everything that we need today. You know our needs. You know our hurts. You promised it over and over. Jesus said, don't be like those hypocrites and those pagans. They run after these things. But God knows what you need before you even ask it. You can trust him. Lord, I just pray for the courage to trust you with our daily bread. Lord, help us when we have more than we need to consider others that are starving all around us and make sure they have their daily bread too. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for what you've done for Wellspring. We give you all the praise and glory for this. And Lord, we are now actively involved in building your kingdom right here.